Well, those of you who have been to any of our parish picnics know that one of my hobbies is juggling. People sometimes ask, Father, how did you get into that? Well, when I went away to college at Christendom, I opened up my suitcase and my sister had given me a going away present, which was three bean bags and the book called, which actually became my favorite theology book during my 4 years at Christendom. It was called Juggling for the Complete Klutz. And so I taught myself how to juggle with the bean bags and worked my way up to tennis rackets, baseball bats, bowling balls, fire torches, and machetes. I tell people that my friend Lefty used to be able to juggle machetes as well. And I taught my sister, now she's my half-sister. And the one thing I say about the machetes is that it's the easy way to get the stigmata. Okay, you know what the stigmata is. Now, I bring that up today because in the second reading, take a look at Paul's letter to the Galatians. He says something very interesting. I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. See, some of the scripture scholars and the saints of the church have speculated that St. Paul was given the gift of the stigmata. It's not been officially defined. You know, the first official saint to have the stigmata was St. Francis of Assisi in the 13th century. But there's a lot of indication that perhaps St. Paul, because he was so closely united to Christ, was given the wounds of Christ in a mystical way. And that's really what the stigmata is. And of course, Hollywood, you know, has movies about the stigmata and brings it up now and then in their movies. But exactly what is the stigmata and why does God give it to some of his closest friends? The stigmata is the mystical, miraculous wounds of Christ bestowed upon a man or a woman. And this book is amazing. This book is called They Bore the Wounds of Christ. And in this book, it recounts the lives of about 24 Catholic saints that have had the stigmata. St. Francis was the first one. He was praying before a crucifix. And there he went into a rapture, an ecstasy, and he had the wounds of Christ imprinted on his hands and feet. Many of the saints have had the stigmata also, the wound in the side, or the crown of thorns as well. Sometimes the stigmata is visible, sometimes it's invisible. In many of the lives of the saints, they had the invisible stigmata, but at the moment of their death, then the wounds appeared visibly for all those gathered around the deathbed of these particular saints. Now, among the well-known saints that had the stigmata were some of the great women saints of the church. Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, St. Rose of Lima, St. Margaret Mary, and then in even recent times, St. Faustina, and others that are up for beatification, like Anne Catherine Emmerich and Teresa Neumann, who my mom got to meet when she was in the 1950s when she visited Germany. And there are many others that, again, are recounted in the lives of this book called They Bore the Wounds of Christ. So St. Paul today says, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. So some of these saints have been called to become living crucifixes. They're so united to Christ that they suffer with Christ. They unite their sufferings to that of the Lord. They're what we call victims of love, or what's called a victim soul, where God loves someone so much that he asks them to become a co-worker in redemption, a co-redeemer with Christ. Of course, Jesus is the one and sole mediator between God and man. He is the one redeemer of the world. But he incorporates others into his work. That's why he gathered 12 apostles and then the 72, like we read in today's gospel. Well, he sent them out. Jesus is the head of the body. We're the members of the body. Christ incorporated us into his body. So he didn't do it all by himself. Yes, his death and resurrection were perfect, and they atoned for the sins of the world. But Jesus wanted to incorporate us into his mission. And that's why he sent out the 72. That's why he had 12 apostles. And that's why he chooses certain souls and bestows upon the souls that he loves in an incredible way a share in his own sufferings. And these souls become truly co-redeemers with Christ. We think of someone like Saint Francis, who had the stigmata, and during his time of suffering, he would offer that up for the church, for the healing of the church. He offered his sufferings up for the conversion of poor sinners. Padre Pio, who died in 1968, he had the wounds of Christ in his hands and feet for over 50 years. And these wounds would be constantly causing pain. But he would offer this up for the conversion of poor sinners, for those who had not gone to confession in 5, 10, 20, 40, 50 years. He offered up his sufferings for their conversion. And uniting that sufferings with Christ, in Christ, and through Christ, just as we can pray for others, we can also offer our sufferings for others as well. And countless souls came back to confession because Padre Pio became a living crucifix. When he said Mass, he said he just didn't stand at the Mass. In a sense, he felt that he was hanging from the cross whenever he said Mass. The doctors examined the wounds in his hands and feet. They never got infected, even though they constantly bled for 50 years. Every Friday, and especially on Good Friday, he would experience the passion and death of Christ. So again, this is something that is very rare. In 2,000 years, there's only been about 24 saints that have had been given the stigmata. And we think of this, though, because this was the way they were called to enter into the redemption, to offer up their sufferings for the salvation and sanctification of others. Now, we may not be called, in fact, I would doubt that any of us here would be called to this kind of becoming a victim soul with Christ to be chosen in this way. However, there are things that we can do to participate in the saving work of Christ. We can offer up our sufferings, whether it be just a headache that we offer up or a toothache. Maybe it could be arthritis that you're battling with. Maybe some of you are battling cancer. So you can offer up and unite your sufferings to the Lord. And that can help to sanctify you and to help bring about the conversion and salvation of other loved ones in your life as well. And so we can, as St. Paul says, fill up in our own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. What does that mean? Is there anything lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Of course not, because Jesus died on the cross. He shed the last drop of his blood. But Christ was the head, and we are the members. What Jesus did as the head of the church is done perfectly and completely. But we, as the body of Christ, continue to be in need of offering up our sufferings for the sake of the body of Christ, which is his church. So Christ the head fulfilled his work perfectly, but he wants us to participate in his salvific work as well. That's why the gospel says we need to pray more. Jesus says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to gather in the harvest. So we need more vocations. So we as Catholics need to be praying every day for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. That's why we put up that sign as you enter the sanctuary of the church. It says, pray for vocations. Even though I know we often want it to say, pray for vacations, right? Because that's good to pray for vacations too. But we have to pray for vocations. We need more priests. We need more deacons and brothers and religious sisters to spread the gospel message. There are countless souls being lost because there are not enough vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And then we need everybody to evangelize, to spread his or her faith, to share the faith with others. So we are called today to be co-redeemers with Christ, co-workers in the vineyard of the Lord. He says there's a huge harvest out there, but so few people willing to labor for the Lord. So what I encourage us to do is first pray for vocations to the priest and religious life, and then realize that as lay people, you're called as well to share your faith, to evangelize, to not only pray, but to offer up your sufferings, whether they be great or small, and unite them to the Lord. So you'll be able to say, like St. Paul, I bear in my own body the marks of Jesus on my body. Even though it might not be in the extreme way that some of these saints have experienced the sufferings of Christ, but every day you take up your cross and follow Jesus.